We followed Yusuf and Saeed down a path running perpendicular to the main road, until we crossed a wall of tall hedges and entered a large compound. In the middle of the compound was a low, rectangular house, with a corrugated iron roof and concrete walls that had crumbled on one side, leaving their brown mud base exposed. Bougainvillea, red, pink, and yellow with flowers, spread along one side in the direction of a large concrete water tank, and across the packed earth was a small round hut lined with earthenware pots, where a few chickens pecked in an alternating rhythm. I could see two more huts in the wide grass yard that stretched out behind the house. Beneath a tall mango tree, a pair of bony red cows looked up at us before returning to feed. Home squared.
Hey, Obama!
A big woman with a scarf on her head strode out of the main house, drying her hands on the side of her flowered skirt. She had a face like Saeed's, smooth and big-boned, with sparkling, laughing eyes. She hugged Alma and Roy as if she were going to wrestle them to the ground, then turned to me and grabbed my hand in a hearty handshake.
Hello,
she said, attempting English.
Musawa,
I said in Luo. She laughed, saying something to Alma. She says she has dreamed about this day, Alma translated, when she would finally meet this son of her son. She says you have brought her great happiness. She says that now you have finally come home. Granny nodded and pulled me into a hug before leading us into the house. Small windows let in little of the afternoon light, and the house was sparsely furnished. A few wooden chairs, a coffee table, a worn couch. On the walls were various family artifacts. The old man's Harvard diploma, photographs of him and of Omar, the uncle who had left for America 25 years ago and had never come back. Beside these were two older, yellowing photographs, the first of a tall young woman with smoldering eyes, a plump infant in her lap, a young girl standing beside her. The second, of an older man in a high-backed chair. The man was dressed in a starched shirt and a kanga. His legs were crossed like an Englishman's, but across his lap was what appeared to be some sort of club, its heavy head wrapped in an animal skin. His high cheekbones and narrow eyes gave his face an oriental cast. Alma came up beside me. That's him, our grandfather. The woman in the picture beside it is our other grandmother, Akumu. The girl is Sara. And the baby? That's the old man. I studied the pictures for some time, until I noticed one last picture on the wall. It was a vintage print, the kind that grace old Coca-Cola ads, of a white woman with thick dark hair and slightly dreamy eyes. I asked her what the print was doing here, and Alma turned to Granny, who answered in Luo. She says that is the picture of one of our grandfather's wives. He told people that he had married her in Burma when he was in the war. Roy laughed. She doesn't look very Burmese, eh, Barak? I shook my head. She looked like my mother. We sat down in the living room, and Granny made us some tea. She explained that things were well, although she had given away some of the land to relatives, since she and Yusuf could not work at all by themselves. She made up the lost income by selling lunches to the children at the nearby school, and bringing goods from Kisumu to the local market whenever she had some spare cash. Her only real problems were with the roof of the house. She pointed to a few threads of sunlight that ran from the ceiling to the floor, and the fact that she hadn't heard anything from her son Omar in over a year. She asked if I had seen him, and I had to say no. She grunted something in Luo, then started to gather up our cups. She says when you see him, you should tell him she wants nothing from him, Alma whispered, only that he should come visit his mother. I looked at Granny, and for the first time since our arrival, her age showed on her face. After we unpacked our bags, Roy gestured for me to follow him into the backyard. At the edge of a neighboring cornfield, at the foot of a mango tree, I saw two long rectangles of cement, jutting out of the earth like a pair of exhumed coffins. There was a plaque on one of the graves. Hussein Onyango Obama, born 1895, died 1979. The other was covered with yellow bathroom tiles, with a bare space on the headstone where the plaque should have been. Roy bent down and brushed away a train of ants that marched across the length of the grave.
6 years, Roy said. 6 years and there's still nothing to say who's buried here. I tell you now, Barak, when I die, you make sure that my name is on the grave.
He shook his head slowly before heading back toward the house.